This podcast is a Majestic Giraffe production. For more information and more content, visit majesticgiraffe.com.
But I was going into Toshi Station to pick up some power converters.
First off, I'm one of you guys, so this will be kind of casual here. My name's Carl. I've been involved in Star Wars fandom forever. Used to be in a lot of panels for Matters of the Force back in the day. This panel's focusing on one of the several things I'm into now, which is, how many people in here have been to Las Vegas? All right, cool. How many of you know that many of the most iconic Star Wars locations filmed the pickup shots for the original film are a two-hour drive from Las Vegas? Cool. That's something that we have been studying for a while, which we'll get into in a minute. But so one of the many things, I have a business partner, and then we've been working on books, keeping it from a fan's point of view. We don't want it all, you know, corporate and everything. So. I'm trying to get it more relaxed, and at the end, if anyone has questions, I have time at the end for Q&A, and then Brandy passed out some stuff earlier, and feel free to come up. I have one sample copy of the book we wrote up here if anyone wants to come flip through it after and look through. So, first of all, a little bit about us. There's three of us, but the main two are my friend Adam Parr and myself, and we met in 1978 in first grade. And we instantly bonded over Star Wars. So we've known each other that long, been best friends ever since. We've always been interested in the behind the scenes aspects of the movies. So it was kind of a natural thing that we started researching, where did they shoot this stuff? You know, the original films, unlike the prequels, and the new films, thankfully, a lot of it was filmed in actual locations that just looked otherworldly. So, you know, everyone knows about Tunisia, which is incredible, and Finse, Norway, and things like that, but very little known at the time when we first started researching it in the early 90s. A lot of the pickup shots done when they came back for the first movie were done in Death Valley, California, because it was 4 or 5 hours drive from LA, and it was a lot cheaper, and they needed the big elephant for the Bantha. They couldn't do that in Tunisia. All the long shots of the land speeder going by, we'll get into all that in a minute. So we're like, wow, this, you know, you always think about Tunisia when you think about Tatooine, but Death Valley looks very much the same. So we did that. We researched it for several years and went to our first trip out there in 98. And then went back again in 2002, and we found all of the locations, including two locations that had never been found by anyone else before. One is actually we lucked into, and we'll talk about that. And we actually published this book, Star Wars Road Trips, Guide to a Galaxy Not So Far Away, back in 2012 through Kickstarter. We tried for 10 years to get Lucasfilm to publish this book. We actually had it written, actually like 9 years. We had it written in 2003, and they just weren't interested. They're like, it sounds like a cool idea, but it's not anything we're interested in. So, okay. So we ended up doing it ourselves, which is actually a good thing because we didn't get any interference, things like that. So, and then last year we got officially licensed from the National Park Service to start giving guided tours to the locations out in Death Valley. So that's kind of exciting. We've done two, we're gonna do more. We're trying to organize one either right before or right after Celebration next April, because it's taking place in Anaheim. We'll just get a bus or something and we'll figure all that out. And real exciting right now is I actually got back from London last week because we got contracted to actually record the behind the scenes location scouting and filming for the new movies. So that probably will be an official thing. I'm hoping if not, we'll self-publish it again. But they're at least giving us official access. So I spent a week in Abu Dhabi a couple months ago. Can't really talk about much of what I saw. Obviously, I signed some stuff, but I was in Adam and I are extras as desert denizens in a desert planet that was filmed in Abu Dhabi. And also working on a book on the worldwide Indiana Jones locations. So that's a little bit about what we're up to. A little bit about the book. Again, we published it in 2012. And really, the reason the book came about was because when we first started researching this stuff to go out there, there wasn't a lot of information out there. David West Reynolds, who inspired us, he's an actual archaeologist and a Star Wars fan, helped refine a lot, like the original Lars Homestead location in Tunisia, had written an article in Star Wars Insider that just kind of gave you a little bit of info. Hey, they filmed the Death Valley and a couple of scenes were there. But, you know, you go out there, Death Valley's huge. I mean, it's hundreds of square miles. And there's a lot of dirt roads, unnamed roads. And when we went out there first time, GPS, you know, I think we bought a handheld GPS and it was like a little small monochrome handheld GPS. It was like $700. So anyway, we just because we're nerds, we always over document everything. So we wrote down GPS coordinates, exactly how we got there, took pictures of everything, and you know, we came back and we made these scrapbooks for ourselves. And we're like, wow, this is actually, we could turn this into like a travel guide that other people could actually use to actually easily find these things. And that's kind of how the book came about. So that's the whole purpose of the book. It's more about meant to be a travel guide to, if you're out there, you can easily find these locations yourself. There are really three main areas in the United States that have notable Star Wars locations. Obviously, Death Valley, which I just talked about. There's nine total locations there. Seven of them were in the first movie, and in two in Return of the Jedi. And then the Imperial Sand Dunes in Southeast California. You always hear about Yuma, Arizona. That's where everyone stayed. It's just across the border, but it's actually filmed in California. That's the Jabba's sail barge sequence. And when they went out there and reshot Sand Troopers for the special edition, they went out to the same dunes. And it is called Imperial Sand Dunes, and it has nothing to do with the movies. We'll talk about that, too. And then, of course, the Redwoods National Forest in Northern California, which is all the Endor locations. Death Valley is really the impetus here, because that's where most of them are. And the locations, in order of their appearance, the sand dunes were R2, left 3PO at the very beginning of the movie. And then the dry creek bed, he's rolling down that long shot before the Jawas encounter him. And then obviously there's a lot of, they did shoot a lot of Jawa stuff in Tunisia, but then they did a lot of pickups here with the POVs, the Jawas looking through the crevasse, and then you see them hiding, and then there's a couple of shots of R2 rolling by. That was also filmed in Death Valley. And then the hill where they're walking R2 up to the sand crawlers there. And then all the shots of Luke's land speeder where it's actually moving and you see people in it, and it's obviously not puppets or whatever, it's actually moving across the desert. That's in Death Valley on a flat road there called West Side Road. They put mirrors on below it. I'm sure you've heard all the story behind these scene stories, but those were all shot there. All the Bantha shots, any shot you see a Bantha in was Death Valley, because they could not get, they borrowed the elephant from Marineland in California, and that poor thing was out in 120 degree heat with all that stuff on it. It actually lived another 30 years. But so that's all done out there. And I think the most iconic image is the Mos Eisley overlook. Now, not where you see them standing on the cliff, that was in Tunisia, but what they're actually seeing, where you know you're looking out over Mos Eisley, that's not only in Death Valley, it's actually in a very big tourist spot called Dante's View. And it's one of the, I think it's the only location where there's actual paved parking lot next to it. And again, we'll get into these more a little bit in a minute. And then Return of the Jedi in Death Valley, they shot all the shots of the droids walking towards Jabba's palace, the long shot, the side shot. And then the exterior and probably some of the interior of the cave where Luke finishes his lightsaber and gives it to R2, which was a cutscene. We discovered that by accident, and we'll talk about that in a minute. Here's the first location, is R2's dunes. You see the shot in the top is really from the movie. The R2 there is a little animated, and that's because when we published the book, Lucasfilm wouldn't let us use the actual character images from the movie. So we had to take the shot and animate over it, and they said, okay, that's okay. So we're like, all right, we'll do it. And then the shot below it's actually ours that we took. So you can see, you go out there, and it looks very much the same, even 30, 40 years later. And what's pretty amazing about the dunes is it's windy there, and they shift all the time. But they all, those especially those two in the background and that one in the middle, they pretty much always stay that way. And it's very interesting. People, the scientists still don't know why the dunes, they end up, you know, recycling and looking the same after a few years. We just happened to be there one time when it looked very much like the movie. This is artist palette. Sorry about the blurry image at the top. That was from the original pre-special edition before they CGI'd it to make it look nighttime. But as you can see, it's exactly the same. There's just no R2 down there. Actually, pretty easy to get to as well. It's near, they have this thing called artist palette. If you turn 180 degrees and look the other way, all the rocks are like a rainbow of different colors. And it looks like an artist palette. That's why they call it that. So it's actually pretty cool. And this is Golden Canyon. This is where the, you see my friend hiking up there, where the Jawas were hiding, and R2 comes rolling by. Also near artist palette, this is the hill where they took R2 up to the sandcrawler, and the bottom there is actually where they matted the sandcrawler in, and then just had kids carrying an R2 up that hill towards nothing, but there was a mat painting there. And this is West Side Road. Very hard to get an exact, because you can see they were all long shots and it's moving, so you can't exactly match the shot, but this is the road that they had the land speeder on, and it has a little bit of stuff on the sides that kind of block the wheels a little bit, and obviously they put mirrors on. I think this shot on here of the land speeder actually was post-special edition where they cleaned it up with CGI. I think they used like Vaseline or something on the original negative, and it looks kind of blurry going by. But that's where they shot it. They set a film crew up all the way out in the desert and just go down the road. And Bantha Canyon. And you can see this top left image and the one on the bottom, we match that up exactly. And that's where they jump onto the Banthas and walk off. There's also a shot, the long shot where Luke's looking through the macro binoculars. He's like, oh, there's sand people. I can see that was also shot there. That hill that he was on, we found in 2002, it's no longer there. Interestingly enough, Death Valley, although being hot and one of the driest and hottest places in the world, they do have huge flash floods every now and then. And when they have a big one, it's huge. I mean, it literally washes entire roads away. The road to Jabba's Palace, we went back 3 years later, and the actual road had moved 30 feet. It's really interesting, that particular part of Death Valley. But you know, you get some of the mountains and rocks in the background, those don't change much. But the ground itself in some areas can wash away and change a little bit. This is Dante's view. Again, the top's a little muddy, but that bottom image is the one we took, and that's exactly what it looks like. You go out there, you're looking for a spaceport and little ships flying around. But again, interestingly enough, if you turn, 10 feet behind us is a paved parking lot, and one of the only paved parking lots in the entire park. They also shot another movie there with Matt Damon and Casey Affleck, Ben Affleck's little brother, called Jerry. It was a Gus Van Sant, a little independent movie, and it's about these two guys that go out to the desert and get lost. And there's one scene at the end where they break down realizing they're gonna die out there, and it takes place here. So it's like really hard for us to to buy that scene, because it's like, all right, come on, you're 2 feet away from a parking lot. So. But it is really cool to go out there and stand out there. And first time we went out there, we nerded out completely. We were playing the actual Tatooine music from the soundtrack, and then just looking at it, and it's just crazy. It's like being in the movie. It's the easiest way to describe it. And this is 20 Mule Team Canyon, the road to Jabba's Palace. You can see that the top left image and the one below it, the only thing missing in our picture is the droids in the matte painting of the palace up there. But even though the road is not quite as flat and it's washed away a good bit, I mean, everything pretty much is still there. All the terrain, the mountains and everything are identical. funnily enough, we knew there was one shot from behind, and then this one here, there was a further shot, and then one where they're walking the same direction and there's this like flat rock wall behind them. We couldn't find that the first time. And then the second time we went, we figured, wait a minute, that doesn't mean they're walking actually in the same direction. They make movies all the time where they move the camera around. That's exactly what they do. As you can see in the bottom right picture, they're actually walking away from the place they were walking to towards, and that's when they got that shot, a close-up shot of them moving to the side. So it's really fun to find things like that. We had these two behind-the-scenes images came from the Making of Return of the Jedi book that just came out last year. It's actually a really good book by John Rinsler. Okay. I talked a little bit before about the location that we found by accident. Say the Force works in mysterious ways. So we went out in 2002, and we were playing around in the area where they shot The Road to Jabba's Palace. And it's called 20 Mule Team Canyon because back in the day, the big industry there was borax mining. They would actually mine the borax as what people used for laundry detergent back in the day. And they actually would use teams of 20 mules to carry wagons of these borax rocks out in and out of the canyon. That's where it got its name. So the mines are still there, or were. They go really deep. There's some caves that are shallow, some are really deep. And we just became little kids, you know, we're out there and like, whoa, look, caves, we can play in it. And we're running around and you can see Adam and John up on the hill over there. I took this picture of Adam coming out of his outcropping. And we're just, you know, playing around. And we heard, you know, there's rumors that Luke, the cave sequence was filmed there, but we didn't know. You know, Lucasfilm kept that kind of tightly wrapped. So we didn't really think anything of it. We were just taking, you know, there were probably dozens of these caves, and we just happened to jump in a few. And we figured, yeah, if they're going to film in the cave, they're probably going to film it here because they just shot the Road to Jabba's Palace. I mean, literally, like, 50 feet from this, you turn the camera around. So, go to September 2009, this is 7+ years later, the movies are released on Blu-ray. And as you know, the cut scene was on there. I watched this when the Blu-ray came out, and I'm like, that looks really familiar. And then I found the picture of Adam and realized that's the exact same cave and even the same angle. And completely by accident, 7 years, you know. And you can see the outcropping to the right of R2. I mean, they match up exactly. It's the same cave. So, which is kind of cool. We took a documentary film crew out there in 2012, right after we published the book. A guy made a documentary called The Force Among Us. There's a sequence where we're in there. And we're trying to find this location. And we couldn't. We had the GPS coordinates and everything. Like, we were standing right on it. It's not here. And we were so confused, we went back and talked to the park rangers. By the way, if you ever go out there, the park rangers are very cool. They'll, you know, some of the younger ones don't know as much, but some of the older ones, oh yeah, I know exactly. You go and they'll give you directions and help out in any way they can. And they're very cool with people coming out and looking for the Star Wars stuff. But so we asked, and they're like, oh yeah, and 2 years ago, like 2010, there was a huge flash flood and those mines are gone. The caves are gone. I'm like, but the caves were there for like 100 years. Like, yeah, the overnight they were gone. And we're like, wow. So like, not only did we find it, we found it before they were gone forever. Turns out, some other friends of ours, and we're going out there again in October to verify this, were there this past May and claims that it's been washed away again, and now this cave is now, it's filled up about halfway with dirt, but the top of it's visible again. So they may be coming back. So it's very confusing sometimes, but that's geology for you in nature. There's another shot. We found some of these behind the scenes pictures. Lucas actually dug out a little bit so R2 could come out, and that picture in the bottom left is a photo Adam took from inside the cave looking out, which is very similar to the shot in the cutscene as well. So we feel they actually shot some of that there, and then probably use blue screen later on for the whole lightsaber thing. But it was pretty cool. I mean, I actually had Anthony Daniels out there in 1982. Lucas directed those scenes, not Richard Marquand. There were pickup shots done later there in California, so Lucas had done those. of the Java sail barge sequence. Yeah, so you can see, welcome to the Imperial Sand Dunes Recreation Area. This is in, it's not really a town, it's just, the easiest way to describe it is extreme southeast California, like maybe 2 miles inside the border from Arizona. So that's why you always hear about, yeah, we filmed in Yuma, Arizona. Well, that's where everyone stayed because it's about 15-minute drive away. But everything was done in California, and they have these really, as you can see, these really magnificent dunes. The top left picture is behind the scenes of the set. They actually built it up high and filled it with surrounding sand so that you could have the actual Sarlacc there and look like it was in the ground. It was actually built up. The bottom photo is one I took out there in 2005, and I took the one on the right. As you can see, it's actually a flat valley with some shrubbery there, surrounded by dunes on all sides, and it's called Buttercup Valley. There's no signs or anything, but that's where they filmed it. And apparently what they did, and I don't know how they got away with this, but instead of taking everything away, I think they took a lot of the main props. Everything else they broke down and buried and left, including the Sarlacc itself. And as recently as 2 years ago, fans were able to go out there and just dig far enough and find pieces of the Sarlacc or Sprite cans from 1982 and weird things like this. And because it's completely dry in sand, everything stays pretty well perfectly preserved under the sand. I don't know how they got away with doing that. They must have just figured, hey, if we bury it, they'll never find it kind of thing. But very interesting. And of course, you know about the Endor scenes. This is just a random shot. The thing about that Endor is they built the bunker, which is probably the only identifiable set piece, some things like that. So that they tore down and took away. So it's almost impossible to locate the exact spot. But we know the general area where they did all the speeder bike stuff. But the cool thing about being in the Redwoods is it doesn't really matter where you're at. It all kind of looks like Endor. Like this shot here, but we found the location. We had it verified by Lucasfilm last year, because when they originally went out there, all this greenery on the ground wasn't like that. It was a lot of short grass or just dirt. And for the speeder bike sequence, to make it more interesting, they wanted ferns and plants and make it look a little bit more otherworldly. So Lucasfilm actually went out there in like 1981 or something, 82, and planted a lot of plants and bushes. And they're still there. So it's actually kind of taken over that particular area. So that's the one way it's easily to, they must have filmed here because this is the place that has all the greenery on the ground. So that's kind of cool. And pretty easy to get to because it's a big tourist, it's a national park too. It was a big touristy thing. Other fun locations in the U.S. is, most people here probably know about the Yoda statue that's outside the Letterman Digital Arts Center. It's in downtown San Francisco in the Presidio, which is where Lucasfilm is now based, or has been for about the past 5 years. And the cool thing about the Yoda fountain is it's on public property. It's public part of the city. So anyone can go up to it and take pictures or throw a lucky penny into the Yoda fountain. Last year, in San Anselmo, up the road from San Francisco, where Lucas is from, or has a house, or I think he might have moved to Chicago now, but they opened up a brand new city park on a lot that used to be Lucas's. He had a lot that he just owned, and it was an old building that was dilapidated. So he basically gave the property to the city under one condition, that they make a nice public park out of it. So they did. They named it Imagination Park, and they have a replica of the same Yoda statue and a one-of-a-kind 9-foot-tall Indiana Jones bronze statue on the other side. And again, this is just public park. Anyone can go up there and see it. It's really cool. It's about a 20-minute drive north of downtown San Francisco. All right, what we got in the works now, they talked about a little bit before, is working on guides to international locations, including the new sequel trilogy and spin-off films, which we're able, this time, instead of trying to research things that happened 20, 30 years ago, we can pretty much research it in real time, which is pretty awesome and a lot easier. And racks up frequent flyer miles really quickly. We don't know how many books there are going to be. I talked to Adam about this a lot. We've debated, I'm like, do we want to do one comprehensive with everything, or because that might take forever, because they're making six movies. You know, there's three, there's the sequel trilogy, and then there's the three spinoffs. I was like, well, do we separate the two, and do we do one that's the international for just the original trilogy, and then one for the new ones, which probably we'll end up doing. But again, it's, and then Lucasfilm has a say, and Disney. So we'll see how that goes. That's going to keep us busy for the foreseeable future. Yeah, you know, but we don't want to, you know, because we're fans too, and like we talked about that, and we're like, hey, we can release it. Actually, they wanted us to come to Celebration 6, and we actually couldn't because of an Indiana Jones, what I'll get to in a second, obligation I had, but they wanted us to come, and yeah, after we published our book through Kickstarter and it was successful, then they were like, oh, hey, come on, we like you guys now. And they wanted us to do an exclusive cover edition for, and we're like, nah, I'm not going to do that. Because that, I mean, it's kind of cool in a way. Some people would like it. People like to collect variants and stuff, but that's just like a cash grab. And like, you know, we don't want to be the people that we used to complain about. So we did publish a new printing of our book last year that was different from the one that we got published when we did the Kickstarter, for the simple reason of we had gone out to the road to Jabba's Palace and those caves were gone. And in our book, it's like, you go here and here's the cave. And like the last thing we want to do is send people out to Death Valley in 120 degree heat. And they, you know, they can't find the spot and you know, something. So we amended that chapter in the book to say, hey, they may not be there. They may be there. Things change. It's nature. Just be careful kind of thing. That's the only thing we did. You know, we don't want to come up with new additions all the time. And it is pretty definitive anyway. I mean, it's got the locations in there, so. All right, Indiana Jones Project. Talk about this. It's a little crossover. I know this is the Star Wars room, but the last 2 years, been traveling. A lot of these are easy because, well, not easy, but Tunisia has both, and England has both. So it's kind of easy in that regard to double up. But it's interesting, I didn't set out to do a book for Indiana Jones, but in finding these locations, because this has become a hobby of ours, by the way, just looking and finding film locations. I was up in Massachusetts last weekend for work, and it was a wraparound. I had to be there on a Friday and a Monday, so I had the weekend off. So I went to Martha's Vineyard and found all the Jaws locations just because I wanted to. It was fun. Probably not doing a book, but because I have enough on my plate. But the indie ones were interesting because it's like just finding locations you actually feel like Indiana Jones because it's an adventure. So I'll just show you a few of the ones. This is known as Marshall College in the movies, and it's actually the music arts building of Pacific College in Stockton, Northern California. But it's pretty much identical. There's one big building on the right has been cut down, as you can see. I found the flying boat from Raiders. It's obviously, you can see it's dry dock now. It's in a aviation museum in Oakland, California. The owners actually let me on, and yes, that's the actual seat that Harrison Ford sat in, is Indy, which is pretty cool. This is the bureaucratic fool shot from the end of Raiders. Very funny, because this is supposed to be an exterior shot in Washington, D.C., and it's actually the interior of City Hall in San Francisco. This is Mount Tamalpais, actually very, very close to San Anselmo, where Lucas lives, and near Skywalker Ranch. This is where they shot a lot of the exterior shots for the motorcycle chase scene from Last Crusade. I went out there last year, and some of it's changed, but I pretty much found where they shot it. And again, there were some helpful park rangers that guided me to some of the spots that actually closed off roads were like, yeah, open the gate and go up a half a mile and you'll find what you're looking for. And the Zeppelin Museum, the Berlin Zeppelin, airport, is actually a business building in what's called Treasure Island. It's part of San Francisco. And you know, as people work, they go to work there every day, and you wonder if they know that they're working in the airport. All right, and thank you for following our adventures. Because really, it's really fun to just, because we're fans, and it's really fun to just do this and share this with other fans. We want people to actually go out. We're doing the tours now, but we actually want people to go out there and find them on their own. Obviously, the 501st, we've taken them out there a few times to do photo shoots, sand troopers, and got some other cool things in the works. One thing I can't talk too much about, but about this is this was early last year, January 2013. We get an email from a guy and said, hey, he found our website, starsroadtrips.com, and the pictures and everything, and heard about the book. He's like, can you give us, we want a private tour for like six people of these Tatooine locations. And, you know, money's no object. We just need it by certain, we have to have it these dates. Because, you know, we can only go out there, we have stuff dated, you know, we can't go out there anytime. And we have real jobs and that kind of thing. So Adam and I were going back for, and I noticed the guy's return email address was a Disney email address. And this was just a couple months after they had acquired Lucasfilm. So immediately red flags go, oh man, they're gonna like nail us here. They're gonna say, no, you can't be giving guided tours and anymore. I don't care what Lucasfilm said privately to you. Yeah, as long as you don't sell anything with Star Wars characters or logos on it, you're fine to do it. But we're Disney and we're not gonna let you do it. So that's what I figured out. And then I looked up the guy's name on LinkedIn and found out he works for the Imagineering department at Disney, not for the corporate, he was in Imagineering. So all right, we'll call him up. We called him up, made arrangements, took him out there, and it turns out they're the guys that are in charge of designing the new Star Wars land that's going in the theme parks, and essentially have hired us as consultants on the Tatooine elements of the parks. That's all I can say. But that was like another thing, like, wow, it started as a fun fan hobby, and now it's opening all these doors. So with that, I'll open it up to Q&A. Any questions? I don't even know what time it is. Probably way early.
Yeah. Besides Saudi Arabia, what other places that you know over in 7?
Well, Abu Dhabi is actually in United Arab Emirates, but kind of the same thing. Yeah. England. Yeah. Well, they've actually shot outdoors there too. There's actually a couple of more places they might go, or not, maybe Iceland. I can't tell you. Everyone's shooting in Iceland now. Ever since Oblivion came out with Tom Cruise, because it's actually really cool. Like you have this ash, sand-looking place, but really bright blue sky. I'm surprised that people didn't use it before that a lot, and even Chris Nolan used it for the movie coming out, Interstellar. It's one of the planets they go to. It's same location. But you know, they bought out a lease at Pinewood Studios for 8 years or something like that, and pretty much all six movies are going to be based there. All the filmmakers meet there regularly, and they're working on their own separate movies, but it's kind of like, you know, the hub, you know, the flagship area. We're hoping they come back to the States, because it is kind of cool to, it's really cool to have locations, and that was the whole purpose of us doing the book, is like, everyone knows about Tunisia and Norway, where they film the hot scenes and all that, but here's some really iconic locations that are a two-hour drive from Las Vegas. It's like very easy. In a five-hour drive from LA, very easy for a lot of people to get to, we felt not enough people knew about it, because if we'd known about it, we'd been going out there since we were kids, you know. So.
When you guys were first branching out, I mean, you're going into some dangerous areas.
Yeah.
What was your best source of info when you were just kind of flinging yourself into?
You know, it was that one. Issue of Star Wars Insider that had that article from David West Reynolds. There were a couple photos in there, and he gave some vague descriptions, like the Road to Jabba's Palace is 20 Mule Team Canyon. So it's about a 6-mile dirt road that it's a U. So basically, it's off a main highway and you take a dirt road, and then it comes back onto the same highway, and it's a one-way road. We must have driven on that road about five times before one of us actually spotted that one very, very familiar background, like a mountain. And once you find like a landmark like that, it's actually very, it's finding that first landmark was always the hardest part. Once you did, you know, we've got, at the time, we had printouts from probably bootleg DVDs or something, because this was like late 90s, early 2000s. And, you know, you can match it up with your camera and that. And then, you know, we got the GPS coordinates. Now we can take people within like, 10, 12 feet of the actual spot where the camera was. But yeah, it was, and a lot of our research, like, hey, we're going out there and it's hot and have water. And a funny anecdote was not funny, but it's funny now because we didn't die. But the first time we left Vegas, you know, we had breakfast, drove there 2 hours, went to Dante's View, the Mos Eisley thing, instantly got excited. We came back and we did the 20 Mule Team Caney thing where we found the road to Jabba's Palace. And that's when we were playing around in all those caves, and we're out there, you know, 2-3 hours, you know, because we're just so excited. And all of a sudden, Adam's like, man, I'm getting a little lightheaded. And I'm like, you know, I kind of am too. I probably need to sit down. And we realized it's been about 5 hours since we've had anything to even drink, and it's kind of warm. So we drove into town, you know, bought those big, huge Gatorades and drank it in like 10 seconds. And they asked me, I was like, it's hot. It's warm out, and the lady at the general store is like, how hot do you think it is? I said, well, like 88, 90. It's 127. I'm like, oh, I'm from Georgia, so it feels like 90. But yeah, you can easily, because you don't sweat. It's so dry, you don't feel yourself getting hot. And we also learned, my friend went out there and did, she had the Slave Leia costume out there a couple years, in 2012. And I figured, well, she's going to be the coolest one. She's not wearing anything. Well, it's the opposite. The more the sun touches you, the hotter you get. Like, she instantly, like, within 5 or 10 minutes, was getting lightheaded, starting to blister, and it's like, whoa. So we learned very on that probably dressing like a Tuscan Raider is probably the most comfortable thing because you just want to be covered. It's crazy. Dagobah was all indoors.
I thought it was
No, I think they shot some reference plates. They went to all swamps all over the world. You know, unless the Lucasfilm records are really bad and our research is bad. They went all over the world and looked at swamps. They took photos and basically came up with that design and recreated it in Elstree Studios in England. Yeah. Like, even where the X-Wing was and all, that was all indoors. It'd be cool if there was, because we'd definitely go out there. I don't care if there's alligators. You know. Back there?
Yeah, anything you're still looking for? Any white whales out there?
Well, there's one, I wouldn't call it a white whale, but there's one place we haven't been yet, is in Guatemala, Tikal, where the pyramids, at the end of Yavin, basically the base at the end of the first movie. And it's, you know, it's a tourist attraction in northern Guatemala, but it's just not easy to get to. So it's not necessarily a white whale, but we know where it is. But it's like an itch we got to scratch at some point. We haven't been there. I'm trying to think of things that, there's a lot of things that are hard to prove. For instance, we're convinced that for the pod race, in episode one, although it's all CGI, that they went and shot some rock formations in Death Valley and plated them in, because we've seen things that just look too much like it. And also, there was another thing. There's a place in Death Valley called the Yubi Hebi Crater. It's an old, ancient, it's like 50,000 years ago, a volcano erupted and left this big hole in the ground. It's a big crater. And in the behind the scenes of episode one, John Knoll, the ILM effects supervisor, is talking about the racetrack course that they design for the pod race, and they have the name things. You know, they have everything's digital, but you know, they come up with an actual geography for this thing, and one of them was nicknamed Hebe Crater. And we think that's just way too coincidental, you know. But we can never get anyone on the record to say, yeah, we did, because they're just kind of tight-lipped about that stuff. Now, the new movies are different. They're like, you know, they're building stuff out in the open, as you probably saw from all the spy photos. In Abu Dhabi, I don't know why they went there instead of Tunisia, other than probably political reasons. Tunisia is not the safest place to be right now. The last time we went there, we had a couple of real scares, and you know, we may not go out there for a while now. But you know, it looks the same, and they are building a lot of things right out of Ralph McQuarrie's original production designs for the original movies. The stuff that Lucas didn't use, they're using now. So that's pretty cool.
I'll come back. How much is your book, and where can we buy it?
You know, I think it's like $29, Amazon and Barnes & Noble. If you get one of these flyers in the back, it tells you, it's got like the ISBN number. And
GPS helped out.
Yeah.
Satellites, have you used any of that? I specifically started thinking about a ground penetrating radar for the Dune Sea to
yeah.
find out exactly where, because they can do it.
Mm-hmm. You mean the sail barge thing?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've used Google Earth and things to, like, you know, if we did the book again, we'd have those shots in there, kind of. But that's actually pretty easy to find on your own, because that Buttercup Valley, I'll go back and I'll show you that picture. Even though it looks big in this photo, it's actually not that big of an area. It's this on the right. I mean, it's about maybe the size of a football field. Or two football fields. And you take a metal detector, you'll hit something, and just dig, and you'll find. Because they had a fence built, a chain link fence built around the perimeter of the set, and they buried that too. So you can basically find the perimeter of the set. Did you get back there?
What?
Yeah, there's a. Yeah, we cover that a little bit, and the main two that are like that are the Dante's View, because that shadow is kind of a dust shadow. You see that there's a shadow of it on top of the mountain, and then R2's. But the R2 one that, where he's rolling down is different now, because in special edition they went and changed everything day to night. But we talk about when you go out there, give yourself a couple of, you know, a full day, but or maybe 2 days. Because the first time we went, we were fighting, you know, rushing against daylight to find the state. You don't want to have to rush anything when you're out there. Do you have a question?
That was literally
the same one? Awesome. Yeah. And, you know, we're actually on the website going to open up a page about that very thing. Like, basically, we're going to open up, we're going to beef up the pages for each particular location, and then have like a tips and suggestions piece that's like, look, if you want to recreate the shot, including lighting and everything, you got to go exactly this time of day, and recommend get there this time so you can set up. But you know, because in the desert, and especially in the West, it's the sun sets really quickly out there, and so if you want to get like a sunset shot, you know, you got a couple minutes, and then it's getting really dark really fast. Anything else? Wow, I covered it. Oh, you have one.
I was gonna say, so, by far, if you could go see one place, what's the one place to go? Besides the episode 7.
Yeah. You know, Tunisia is pretty amazing, just because it's that far. You're far away, you know, in another continent. But I wouldn't recommend anyone go there right now. It's just unstable. And like literally, we found out we drove like less than half a mile from a Al-Qaeda training camp at one point. And here are three, you know, pasty white American guys. That wouldn't have gone well. But Death Valley, really. I mean, it's would be the least expensive, the easiest to get to, and it's just amazing how many, you know, really, they didn't film a lot out there, but what they did film there is instantly recognizable and iconic. And it's hard to describe unless you're there, but some of those locations, with the exception of Dante's View, because again, the parking lot's right there, but like 20 Mule Team Canyon, where the Road to Jabba's Palace is, you're there and there's no one else around. It's a dirt road. So it's really you in whatever vehicle you're in, and you literally feel like you're on another planet, and it looks like another planet. That's why they go out there, you know. The rock formations are unlike anywhere in the world in some areas. The best way to describe it is you feel like you're on Tatooine, you know. So we recommend, and almost everyone gets out to the Vegas area at some point. And again, 2-hour drive from Vegas, really easy. And almost all the locations you can get to easily from parking and walking. And with the exception of the sand dunes, R2's dunes, we found this out. And I still don't know how the hell they got that droid out there. But there's a main highway, 190. You park. There's a little town there called Stovepipe Wells. And you can see the sand dune from the highway. You can see the dunes. But there's shrubbery everywhere. You got to walk out about 3/4 of a mile, and then it becomes just flat sand like this, just nothing but sand. You walk out there 3/4 of a mile in really soft sand, that's not easy to do. And you know, your shoes are filling up with sand, it's really hot. And so that's the one where like you can do it, but recommend if you're going to do it, be prepared and give yourself several hours, take lots of water. That kind of thing. But with the exception of this location, all the other Death Valley locations are very easy to find. And you don't even really need a 4-wheel drive. You know, first time we went, we were in some kind of convertible car. It was, yeah, like we weren't nearly prepared to do some of the off-terrain stuff. But we still made it to most of them that way. So, but that's what I would definitely recommend. And I think more fans, that's what we want. We want fans to go out there. We want to start seeing, you know, cosplay photo shoots. And, I didn't mention this, but I'm actually building a land speeder for the sole purpose of going out there with it. We're doing cool things. I have friends that are really good. I'm an R2 builder. I have my own R2. And I have friends that are really good C-3PO cosplayers. So some of the tours that we're doing, we're going to do really special things like have R2 and 3PO out there, or maybe riding a land speeder on the actual road that Luke rode on, and things like that. So we're trying to do things like that and make it even more special. But we love seeing, like, the best thing is we have people that, they don't even have to buy our book, they can just email us or go on our Facebook page and ask a couple questions. We'll tell them, yeah, here's how you go, here's how you get there, and then we get their pictures. And it's just really cool seeing a guy dressed as a sand trooper, like, standing out there, or even people take their little Kenner R2 figures and put them on the thing, and that's what it's all about. It's really fun. Just got out there. The first time we went out there, we even bought Jedi robes and threw them on, put them on, and it's, because again, it's different, because it's not like being on a set. Set's a really controlled environment. Only a certain part of it looks like the world that they're building, and if you turn in any direction, it's gone. But out there, it's you're in it. You feel like you're in Star Wars. So it's pretty amazing.
You had said that most of the shots with like Luke and the sand people were
here. Luke, were the Banthas, where you see Banthas. I know the shot where he's actually, the sand person standing on top of him is hitting him, that's on a rock in Tunisia. That's Tunisia as well. Yep. I don't think Alec Guinness actually came out to here at all. Like, all the Alec Guinness shots were Tunisia and England. But it's pretty incredible how they pieced them together. I mean, the scene where R2's coming down with the Jawas, there are about 2/3 of those shots are Death Valley, and about 1/3 are Tunisia, and you really can't tell the difference from shot to shot. I mean, changing around. I mean, you go 3-4 shots, and every shot's at a different location. And that's, you know, Lucas actually perfected that whole thing about you shoot the movie, and then like, well, we can go out and get a couple more shots and make it a little bit more interesting and edit it differently. And he kind of perfected that with the first Star Wars. Now everyone does it. Now everyone goes back so much later and films pickup shots. But that was one of the first movies that did it, and that's where they did it. It was out in Death Valley.
So they announced yesterday, I think, that Captain America 3
The Pinewood South,
right.
Yeah.
Do you think there's any chance they'll do any work on Star Wars here?
I would say yes, simply because, and this isn't an informed opinion, this is my personal gut check. They're filming 6 movies, right? At least. You know, about the 3, and then there's the 3 spinoff. And there's going to be a little bit of overlap. They're all going to shoot stuff on Pinewood in England. They're all going to shoot location stuff. I can't, and knowing what I know about filmmaking in general, I can't foresee a scenario where they wouldn't need to shoot indoors somewhere else. Because the set's being taken up for, oh, episode 8 has a set, so the Boba Fett movie or whatever needs to shoot over here. You know, so I can see that happening very easily because they're related. They're owned by the same people now. I've heard rumors of them going to a soundstage in New Mexico, which is really odd. But I think that's more of a rumor though. But yeah, I mean, it's possible we could have pieces of a Star Wars movie shooting here in Georgia, which would be really cool. Which would be the shortest distance I'd ever have to travel for.
Any other questions? Well, let's give Carl a big round of applause.
Did we have a raffle or something?
Yeah.